Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. What we must realize as children of the Most High is that we must be nourished by His spiritual food on a daily basis. And oh, what a blessing it is to be nourished by the Lord. Just as we need nourishment for our bodies, we also need spiritual nourishment every day in our spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at a verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, a good servant of Jesus Christ, nourished up. Notice the words nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So we are to bring each other into remembrance of the words of God, and thereby the Lord would call us a good servant of the Lord. As we remind each other of the truth of God on a daily basis, as we stand shoulder to shoulder, hands and hearts lifted high to worship our King who is coming, and we remind each other of the truth of God, that the Lord says that we're good servants or ministers of Jesus Christ. And we're all thereby, each member of the body of Christ is nourished up. Notice up, nourished up, nutrified with the divine nutrients of heaven. Then we're nourished up in the faith. Our faith is bolstered, if you will. Amen. And then it talks about good doctrine. Doctrine is ultra important. And the Bible says if we don't continue in the doctrine of Christ, we no longer have God. You may want to write down the reference. It's 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9, he's talking about beginning in verse 7 that there are going to be many deceivers in this last hour. And let me stop to say this. If you have a problem with warning, then you have a problem with God. You can barely read a chapter in the Bible without God warning us of those things and those people who would draw us away from Him and cause us to be damned. Since we're in 2 John, I'm going to begin in verse 7. For many deceivers. Now let's stop and think about that. Notice how he took such caution and care, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John. He said, for many deceivers are entered into the world. The Bible never speaks of many true prophets, but it seldom speaks of, quote, many deceivers, as we see right here, 2 John 7, and many false prophets. And due to that truth, we have a book on safeguardyoursoul.com called Predators in Our Pulpits, and the subtitle is Invasion of the End Time Wolves. If you're not being warned about false teachers and false doctrine, you are not being protected. The only reason why a pastor would not be warning you about wolves in sheep's clothing is because he is one. Those who warn you love God and they love you and they want to protect you. Jesus said we're to shout the darkness, expose it by the light of truth from the housetops. The housetop simply represents the place where the most people can hear it clearly. can hear the warning. People for decades have been trying to get me to stop warning, but they have only been used of God as a springboard to continue to more fervently warn the sheep of Christ. People only get nervous and awkward and uneasy about warning because of the lack of the fear of God in their own lives. You cannot read the words of our Lord Jesus and his prophets and apostles without being constantly warned by them of false doctrine and false leaders. Beware, beloved, and take heed to yourselves. Take the warning and take heed. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So you have people trying to shut down preachers who are obeying God by warning the flock. Now think about how foolish it would be for you or I to walk up to a parent and rebuke him for warning his child. Think about the insanity of walking up to a daddy who is telling and warning their child, their five-year-old child, to stay away from the busy street where cars and trucks are passing at a high rate of speed. If I saw a man warning a parent to leave his child alone while the parent was lovingly warning that child to stay away from danger, I'd be real tempted, to put it lightly, to go stand in between that idiot and the parent. True love always warns in order to protect. Love always warns. And God is love, so why would we be surprised that he so often warns us of the enemy and his tactics? How many of you ladies, as a young girl and a teenager, were warned by your parents to beware of the bad boys? Why did your parents warn you? Was it because they loved you or hated you? One of the reasons why those daddies warned you ladies as little girls to beware of the bad boys is they know how crazy they were as youngsters. So those gentlemen were actually telling on themselves, weren't they? So warning is for love. The Apostle Paul said that he warned because he knew the fierce justice and judgment of God was coming upon anyone who is not in perfect standing with Christ. Well, no, we're in 2 John right now as we begin to read, and then we're going to go over and finish in 1 Timothy. We're already there in 2 John. Let's start in verse 7. In verse 7, remember, there's so much rich biblical truth here, but notice verse 4, that the beloved lady elect, I believe it is, and the Apostle John is actually writing, he says, "I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children learning how to make a lot of money." No, that's not what it says. Oh, no. Contrary to the prosperity wolves of our day. No, it says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." That's what God rejoices in, is that when his children are walking in the truth, and not only were made free upon being saved, but are walking in that liberty through the truth. According to Jeremiah 9:3, those who are not valiant for the truth do not know the Lord. We know exactly who we are and who others are by how they treat the truth of God. Those who love God love his truth without exception. Think about how many pastors on Sunday mornings walk out and flatter their congregation by how wonderful they look in the flesh. They are doing this to seduce them and to make merchandise of those people. The only reason why those false teachers are so popular because there's so many professing Christians who do not love the truth and who do not study the word and live the crucified life. The more you read the Bible personally, the more you're going to see the deception of the apostate modern church world. The Bible says we are to know no man after the flesh or the things of the flesh. So notice in verse 4 of 2 John, the apostle John is rejoicing because the people of God that he was prayerfully overseeing were doing what? Were walking in truth. Beloved, are you walking in the truth today? Are you valiant for the truth today? Jesus said he is the truth. So if you love him, then you love his truth. From Genesis to Revelation, God's word is the final divine authority. I think it is actually 6 times in the first 4 verses I want to point out in 2 John, a one chapter book, that the word truth appears. So it's actually 5 times in the next book, which is again only one chapter, 3 John, it's mentioned 6 times, the truth. The word truth appears 237 times in God's word. Raise your hands if you believe that truth is important to God. Romans 3:4 says, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." And before we move on, keep in mind that the apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, then he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. See, the first was the Gospel of John, then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then Revelation. So we've noticed how in verse 4 of 2nd John that the apostle rejoiced that God's people were walking in the truth, which they had received as a commandment from God, it says. And then in verse 6, it says, "And this is love." Here's what love looks like, that we walk after his commandments. And that's what Jesus taught in John 14 and 15, that those who truly love God will obey God. They will love and obey his commandments. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," or my truth. If you can hear my voice, God is calling you to learn and obey his truth. By the way, let me tell you from the Bible and from experience that your life is not going to have the blessing of God on it unless you love his truth and you walk it out. If you're not full of the joy of the Lord today, it's because you're not walking in his truth. So we're walking through 2 John. We're going to read verse 7. "For many deceivers," many deceivers, "are entered into the world." That was 2,000 years ago. They have multiplied since then, right? "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Verse 8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not." Notice the warning. You have to take personal responsibility. That's what "look to yourselves" means. "That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward," which would be eternal glory. So we have to take heed and don't lose the truth. 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth," which means somebody who goes back to sin after being saved. This is written to the church. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth," or does not remain in the doctrine of Christ, "hath not God." Notice the words, "the doctrine of Christ." In other words, God is saying that if you don't believe what the Bible, what God has said about the Messiah, then you do not have eternal life. The Bible also uses the term "the record" that God gave of his son. The record simply means that it's on record. It's all recorded in his word. Jesus Christ is the prophesied Messiah who was born of a virgin. He came to die for the sins of the world. He is God Almighty. We knew that before he came, when he came, during the time he came, and after he came. Matthew 1, Jesus is God with us. Paul said that Jesus Christ is God who was manifest in the flesh. And Jesus came and he died, was buried, and raised again from the dead to save all who would believe on him. And he is coming back soon for those who remain in the doctrine of Christ. The whole subject and topic of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In light of this, you must continue to be ever deepened in the truth of God. If not, you will fall away. So verse 10 of 2 John, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Now, what would that be? That would be a false teacher, right? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, or they bring false doctrine, in other words, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So if there come any unto you, so he's telling us, you better watch what doctrine people are bringing. It's exactly like the Berean disciples who were checking out the doctrine that the Apostle Paul was bringing. The Berean believers were said to be more noble, and it's because they searched the scriptures daily to weigh out and to check and to examine Paul's doctrine to see whether or not it was true or false. If you can hear my voice and you name Jesus as your Savior, be sure of this, that God is calling you to be a diligent, astute student of his word, of his truth. The truth of God is the word of God, and the word of God is the truth of God. Jesus said to the Father, thy word is truth. John 17:17. Amen. So he says here that we are to check everybody's doctrine, and that we are not to allow into our homes, we are not to give any credence or place or condone anyone who is not bringing the pure truth of God from his word. When the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses come to your door, rebuke them. You are not to let them in your door. You stand in the truth and the love of God. And the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Many times the truth of God is very stern. So it's a sin to condone or support anyone who's preaching false doctrine. And the only way we can know that someone's teaching falsely is to know the Word of God very well. To know the Word of God, you must personally study the Word of God daily. Verse 11, this will be the last verse in 2 John. For he that, notice the warning, for he that biddeth him Godspeed, or anybody who condones a false teacher, is partaker of his evil deeds. So what he's saying here is that anybody who blesses with words or money or anything else a false teacher is going to be judged and sent to hell with that false teacher. And the way we know that there's false teachers and false prophets are going to hell is the Bible tells us that they're going to hell in 2 Peter chapter 2. Well, we're going to read that and we'll finish in that place. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3. Some people might have been thinking earlier that, is this guy crazy or what? No, it's all over the Bible about false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, and deceivers. If you're uncomfortable with exposing false prophets and false doctrine, then you got a problem with God, not men. God divinely chose to put all these warnings in his word, and he didn't need any mere man's puny permission. Who do we think we are to complain about something God chose to put in his word? Now repent, lay down your life, and live the crucified life Jesus commanded. Let's read it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Who was among the people? False prophets. Were they on the outside? No, they were among the people, right in the middle. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. I want to ask you, encourage you to underline false prophets and false teachers in that verse in your Bible. So let's continue. Whoso privily or secretly, now how do they do it secretly? Because they're among you. You think they're actually good leaders, but they're false prophets in sheep's clothing. And they secretly bring in damnable heresies or lies that damn the soul. We're going to finish in verse 3. Because it's time to wrap up. And through covetousness, now these false leaders, through covetousness, what? God tells on these vile animals. He says, now notice, why am I calling them animals? Because Jesus said they're wolves, right? Sounds like that's within biblical context. The Lord tells on them and tells them why they're lying to people. Here it is. And through covetousness, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, he's saying it's because they're covetous of heart. They shall what? And through covetousness shall they with feigned or fictitious, carefully molded words make merchandise of you. They make money off of you. Notice with feigned words, out of their covetousness, with feigned words, they're going to make money out of you. In other words, you're just a money asset to them, somebody who brings them money for lying to you. The things they're not going to do is they're not going to preach on the crucified life, the essential of the cross that Jesus commanded that we take up daily. They are preaching another gospel, and the Bible says they're cursed. That's what feigned words mean, is that they're not preaching the original gospel. They're not preaching the blood, the cross. They're not preaching hell. They're not preaching judgment. They're not preaching the cardinal doctrines of the original gospel. They're not preaching on holiness, that God is holy, 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 and he commanded you to be holy as he is holy. Let's finish with this, the last word I wanted to point out as we close. It says that their damnation slumbereth not. I just wanted to point out, though, notice where it says their damnation at the end of verse 3 slumbereth not. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking about the false teachers and false prophets and those who support them. They're going to be damned to hell. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments together in your word. We ask that these words would be received into each of our hearts, the engrafted word of God, and be deeply planted and evoke the holy fear of God in each of us, Lord, to diligently seek your holy face through your word and prayer. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to touch Pablo and minister to his whole being, Lord, spirit, soul, and body. We know he prayed to receive you in repentance. We pray that that would be made resolved fully, God, in this hour. And we ask you that if it be your will, that you would raise him up, O God, as a testimony to your saving glory in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.